तवापियेतर्हि कौरव्य सप्ताहं जीवितावधि उपकल्पाय तत्सर्वं तावद्यत्सांपरायिकम् तवापियेतर्हि कौरव्य सप्ताहं जीवितावधि उपकल्पाय तत्सर्वं तावद्यत्सांपरायिकम् तवापियेतर्हि कौरव्य सप्ताहं जीवितावधि उपकल्पाय तत्सर्वं तावद्यत्सांपरायिकम् Also, etarhi, therefore, Kauravya, O one born in the family of Guru, Saptaham, 7 days, Jivita, duration of life, Avadhi, up to the limit of Upakalpaya, get them performed, Tat, those. Sarvam, all, tavat, so long, yat, which are, samparayikam, rituals for the next life. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Maharaj Parikshit, now your duration of life is limited to 7 more days. So during this time, you can perform all those rituals which are needed for the best purpose of your next life. Purport. Shukadeva Goswami, after citing the example of Maharaj Khatwanga, who prepared himself for the next life, within a very short time, encouraged Maharaj Parikshit by saying that since he still had 7 days at his disposal, he could easily take advantage of the time to prepare himself for the next life. Indirectly, the Goswami told Maharaj Parikshit that he should take shelter of the sounds of presentation of the Lord for the 7 days still remaining in the duration of his life, and thus get himself liberated. In other words, everyone can best prepare himself for the next life simply by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, as it was recited by Shukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit. The rituals are not formal, but there are also some favorable conditions which are required to be carried out as instructed hereafter. Hare Krishna. So, we welcome all the devotees to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam this morning. Thank you for coming. So, first when I came to Sri Radha Gopinath Mandir many years ago, So I was hearing a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto. Now again we are reading from second canto. That means many years have passed. And almost 27 years ago, we started first canto here as per the research. So that means it has taken 27 years to complete one round of Srimad Bhagavatam, that is from first canto to 12th canto. So this is how Srila Prabhupada wants us to read Bhagavatam and study Bhagavatam, that one verse every single day. And then devotees come, they discuss, they share their experiences and realizations. Thus, we can understand the complete science of Godhead by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, which Srila Prabhupada is indicating here. So, this first canto and second canto, they are compared to the lotus feet of the Lord. Lord Krishna has two lotus feet. The first canto and second canto are his lotus feet. So that means we have meditated on one lotus feet. So far, I think it took almost 2 years. Year 2021 we started. So now we are going to concentrate on second canto, that is another lotus feet of the Lord. So again, it will take 1 year or 1.5 years like that. So such a long period of time, when we concentrate on the lotus feet of the Lord, then that which is unwanted, that all these avadras, anarthas are in the heart, they are taken care, they are destroyed. So therefore, also let us hear and understand Srimad Bhagavatam nicely. So initially, in this second canto, Srila Sukadeva Goswami establishes superiority of devotional services over other processes. And while doing so, Sukadeva Goswami condemns the life of Grahamedis. We heard those very heavy verses in the beginning of this first chapter of second canto, wherein he actually chastises those who are leading this kind of lifestyle. So that means the spiritual master has that prerogative to actually, if necessary, to condemn this kind of lifestyle, which Sukadeva Goswami is condemning here. So, some years ago, we had the good fortune of hearing from His Holiness Navayogendra Swami Maharaj here. He had come. He stayed here for a couple more days. And then he was giving a Brahmachari class right here. And he was telling about his own story, how he joined Hare Krishna movement early 70s. And he met Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan and he surrendered his life and he started living as a brahmachari in Brahmachari Ashram in Krishna Balaram temple. In those days, he was appointed as a personal servant for Srila Prabhupada. He had that good fortune of serving his spiritual master very intimately. And Maharaj was sharing his realizations, his experiences. He said that I used to serve my spiritual master Srila Prabhupada because I understood that he is a pure devotee of the Lord, empowered Acharya who has propagated Krishna consciousness all over the world. So how fortunate I am that I am able to serve my spiritual master so intimately, so directly. He was thrilled to serve Srila Prabhupada. But time and again he would do some small mistakes here and there. And Srila Prabhupada, very compassionately, he would chastise him for his mistakes. And it happened once, twice, thrice. It went on and on. And Navayogendra Maharaj, that time Brahmachari, he was very much disturbed. Arey, what is happening? I want to please my spiritual master. I want to serve him. However, it appears that Srila Prabhupada is not happy with me because I am unable to serve him properly, therefore he is chastising me every now and then. Then I think I will be doomed. My spiritual life is finished because my guru is not happy with me. He was very much concerned, disturbed. So what to do now? So he took courage. He took courage and he went to Srila Prabhupada directly to ask, okay, let us find out from Prabhupada only what he wants to say, what he has to say about this. One fine day, he took courage and he met Prabhupada personally after his service. He said, Prabhupada, I have a question for you. Srila Prabhupada, yes, what is your question? Prabhupada, I am trying to serve you sincerely, but because I am a conditioned soul, so I do commit mistakes every now and then. But then I hear your chastisement, you become very angry upon me. So, what will happen to my spiritual life? So how to go ahead? Then Srila Prabhupada very compassionately said that you should feel very fortunate and you should feel very happy because there is somebody who is willing to take care of you, who is willing to take care of your spiritual life. And if your spiritual master doesn't chastise you, he doesn't correct you, then who in the world will come and take care of your spiritual life? Then Prabhupada pointed out, see, there are so many people walking out there, so I am not going and chastising them. I am not correcting their mistakes. I am correcting your mistakes because you are my disciple. So it is the duty of spiritual master to find out faults and indicate them and then correct them and then lead him further. So I am just doing my duty. So therefore you should feel very fortunate and happy. And thus Maharaj became very pacified that, okay, spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada is only taking care of my spiritual life very nicely, therefore it's okay, even if he chastises. So here we see that as soon as Shukadeva Goswami is sitting on his vasasana, he is chastising this kind of lifestyle led by Grihamadis. And then, yeah. So then Srila Shukadeva Goswami in his next chunk of verses, he speaks about the quality of life, not the quantity of life. Okay? The quality is more important than the quality. And in this regard he mentioned about the great king Rajarshi Khatvanga Maharaj. So on Sunday we heard from Shyamanand Prabhu how he nicely glorified Khatvanga Maharaj's wonderful personality, but how he had only limited time, only few seconds left. Then he realized that he is about to die now. So immediately he came down to this earth and he surrendered his life and perfected his life. So this is what has been explained. And some years ago, one devotee couple, they met their counselor. They wanted to name their son. They had a newborn son and they were very happy. They approached her, so can you please, Prabhuji, name my child? He said that naming the child is not a job of a counselor. That will be done by spiritual master, so just wait. And they waited and the spiritual master was not around for some time. Then they again came to him and again said, now we want to actually name our child. Now it is high time. So now you only just name my child. And then he also said that our Purohit, or our one who has written the Kundali or horoscope of our child, has suggested also a name which is very strange, they said. Janmanam, you know, the Janmanam. So he said, what is that name, what he has suggested? He said, Khatvanga. Khatvanga is the name he has suggested. I had never heard this name any time before. So what is this Khatvanga? I don't know. So you give better some better name. The counselor says, this is the best name. He has already been, you know, given the name. So better call him Khatvanga only. No, this is Khatvanga is not at all a good name. So please give some other name. Although the counselor, he wanted that Khatvanga is a very best name. He is a great king who perfected his life very nicely. So why don't you call your son as Khatvanga only? But this couple, they were not at all happy with this name. But then ultimately it was found out that the child has taken birth on the day of Sanatan Goswami's appearance day. So ultimately he was given the name Sanatan. And the couple, they were very happy to receive the name Sanatan. So this Khatvanga Maharaj is that great king who perfected his life within short span of time. And here in this verse, Shukadeva Goswami is speaking that Parikshit Maharaj, you have 7 days to perfect your lives. If Khatvanga could perfect his life in few moments, you have full 7 days. So why? There is no problem at all. So you can actually perfect your life. Thus, Shukadeva Goswami is nicely encouraging Parikshit Maharaj. So it is said that life is preparation and death is examination. And how to prepare one's next life, actually Srila Prabhupada is indicating here, how to prepare for one's next life. Prabhupada says that we can prepare for our next life simply by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. That is the suggestion given by Srila Prabhupada. He is indicating how to perfect one's life, prepare one's life for the next life. So that means sound representation. Srila Prabhupada mentions this word in the purport. He said that Srimad Bhagavatam is a sound representation of Lord Krishna. Also we hear from Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna Swadhama Upagate Dharma Jnana Divisaha Kalavunashtra Drishamesha Purana Arpodhunodita. That when Lord Krishna left for the spiritual world, he again descended in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is his sound representation. And for the age of the people living in the age of Kali Yuga, this act like a Purana Arka. Arka is a sun god. When there is sun in the sky, there is no question of darkness. So Kali means age of darkness. So when one takes up to the study of Srimad Bhagavatam, he is in front of the sun of Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore there is no question of darkness in his life. So therefore Srila Prabhupada is actually indicating here that we should take shelter of this sound representation. So material life is governed by the principle of sense gratification, and the spiritual life is governed by the principle of sound. So there are only two things in this world. What are they? Sense gratification and sound. Nothing more than this. Only two things. Sense gratification and sound. So most of the people, they take shelter of sense gratification and they think that they will become happy. But intelligent devotees, understanding the fallacy of sense gratification, they take shelter of the sound representation. So this sound is Srimad Bhagavatam as indicated by Srila Prabhupada here. So in this regard, Srila Prabhupada cites one beautiful story. In early days of his movement, 67-68, he used to give 3 evening classes on Srimad Bhagavad Gita. So in those days, Srila Prabhupada used to tell this story. The story of Mr. John, I think some of you have heard this. So Prabhupada said, once there was a Mr. John, he lived in an apartment, and one fine day he slept in the evening, the night. So that night what happened, a burglar entered into his apartment, and he was actually sharpening his sword, and he wanted to kill this Mr. John and rob him whatever wealth he had. Fortunately, his friend Mr. George actually saw from his apartment, which is some distance away, and he saw that my friend Mr. John will be killed now because this thief has entered and he actually was sharpening the sword. So he called out, "Mr. John, get up, Mr. John, get up, wake up, wake up." As soon as he heard this loud cry of Mr. George, the burglar ran away from that place. The thief ran away. And then Prabhupada asked, "Who woke up Mr. John? Who woke up Mr. John?" We say Mr. George. Not necessarily. Of course, that may be true. But actually, The sound uttered by Mr. George woke him up, isn't it? Otherwise, friend would be there, he would be looking at his friend Mr. John, but then he if he did not cry loudly, I mean he would not have uttered, then Mr. John would be killed and he would be robbed, isn't it? So therefore ultimately it is the sound which actually saved Mr. John. So Srila Prabhupada similarly indicates that when we hear this eternal sound vibration of the holy name, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, and Srimad Bhagavatam, this is another sound vibration of the Lord. So when we hear this sound vibration, then we wake up from our great slumber and then we will be saved. Otherwise, we will be chopped off by the burglar of Maya. So therefore, this is so very important to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So there is a story of one great rishi called Mudgala. Mudgala Rishi in Mahabharata. So this Mudgala Rishi, who stayed in a deep forest performing his daily rituals of doing all these Agnihotra Yajnas, he was very pious and very, very great sage who lived in the forest. Once it so happened that Durvasa Muni came to his hut. We know how Durvasa Muni is very favorable for his hosts, isn't it? So Durvasa Muni came and he said, I want to eat now. Give me something to eat. So immediately Mudgala Rishi prepared a wonderful feast for him. He fed him. And this Durvasa ate everything, whatever he had prepared. And then there was some remnants left over in his plate. He took all of that and he smeared on the face of the host, Mudgala Rishi. Can imagine. And that is how, you know, Durvasa Muni could do. I mean, you can expect all these things from Durvasa, not a problem. So, and then he started condemning, what kind of food you have given to me? Is this food? First he ate everything. And then whatever remnants were there that are applied on his body and in his face, and then he started chastising him for his so-called service. But Mudgala Rishi was very, very cool. He knew the glories of Durvasa Muni well in advance, so he kept cool himself. And then he extended his service. So why don't you come tomorrow also? I think I can give you better service tomorrow. So I'm extremely sorry. I couldn't serve you properly today. So please come for tomorrow also. Come so that I can serve you. So Durvasa Muni came next day. And the same thing happened. He ate first. And the remaining remnants were applied on the body of the host, Mudgala Rishi. And then he was chastised. And the same thing, you know, Mudgala Rishi was very cool as usual. Said, why don't you come tomorrow also? You want me to come? Are you sure? Yeah, you please come. I want to please you because so far I couldn't please you. Somehow or other I want to please you. I want to serve you. Why don't you come tomorrow? So, of course, Durvasa Muni came. And third day the same episode took place. And continuously for 1 week he was invited. And every time Durvasa Muni engaged in the same pastimes of doing all these things. And then at 7th day, when he finished his lunch, then he uttered some good words. I think you are very, very tolerant and very humble a host. I never seen such a host like you. So I would like to thank you. So may Lord bless you. He said these words and he left. So immediately after his departure, a heavenly airplane came from the heavens. And then all these representative of, you know, Indras, they were there in that airplane. They came down and they offered their obeisance to Mudgala Rishi and they said, please come. we have brought this airplane for you, that you please come with us to go to the heavens. He said, what is this heaven? Please first explain to me. Why don't you tell what is this heavens and what is the speciality of that? So then they started explaining the glories of heavenly planets, how there are beautiful Nandankanan gardens and all kinds of fruits and beverages are available. And there is no old age, there is no such diseases. It's a nice place. You can live there for tens and thousands of years. So for your wonderful guest reception, so you have been awarded. So why don't you come with us? Then Mudgal Rishi asked, I want to know, is there anything more than that? So is there any problem over there? So there is no problem at all. It's a nice, wonderful life. Why don't you join us? No, please tell me if there is any inability, any problem over there. Then they said that, it happens that once your pad credits are diminished, so your garland which you generally wear starts fading. So what does it mean? When it starts fading means, that means your time is up now. So now you have to leave that place. You will be pushed away from that place. And where will I come? Again to this earth planet. Because as soon as your past credits are over, you have to come down back to this material world and again perform yajnas, again go back to the... So this is what. And actually they were honest and they said this. But Mudgala Rishi was very intelligent. He said, no, I am not interested. Why should I once again go there and come back here? So let me perfect my life here only. And I'll go to that place from going where I will never come back. Yad gatvana nivartante tadhama paramamam. He said that I am not interested in going to heavenly planets. So thus there are so many allurements before we make it to the spiritual world, isn't it? So unless we overcome all these impediments and these allurements, so we'll be caught up. So therefore, we also see that how various animals are facing so many impediments and so many allurements in their lives. And what is the cost of it? They lose their life. We hear this wonderful shloka from Garuda Puran. It says that, Kuranga matanga patanga bhrunga mena hata pancha bireva pancha. Eka pramadi sa katham nahanyate yasevate pancha bireva pancha. It's a wonderful verse which says that Kuranga means deer. Matanga is elephant. Patanga is moth. Bhrunga is bumblebee. And Meena is fish. These are five animals which are quoted in this verse. How they become prey to the death. And it is explained that how hunter actually, he doesn't have to go and shoot an arrow to catch a deer. An intelligent hunter, what he does, he plays flute. Just by playing the flute, he attracts so many deers, because these deers have big ears, you must have seen, big ears. So they are very much attracted to hear some beautiful, melodious sound coming from flute. Because deer is very agile, it's very quick, you cannot actually catch it. So knowing well, the hunter actually catches it very intelligently, just plays flute and he doesn't have to run behind any deer. So all these deers come in front of him, easily goes and catches them. There are so many others who help him to catch all these deers. So thus the deer, otherwise very difficult to catch, is caught very, very easily just by playing flute, isn't it? So that is how the deers are caught and they are dealt with. Maybe they are killed also. So, and then there is Matanga. Matanga is elephant. Elephant is such a big animal, nobody can stand in front of him. But how to catch this matanga? So, those who catch these big elephants, they actually devise a plan. They actually dig up the earth and they cover it with a nice grass. And then they actually keep a photo or some kind of an structure which looks like a she elephant. And this elephant understand without knowing that it is simply an illusory manifestation, he still runs after. And because he is running on not actually the earth, but it is actually a dug up place, so he actually falls in. And there he will be kept without giving food for actually weeks and weeks. Then he becomes very, very weak. Then he is pulled out and he is controlled. One small boy or a man who can sit on the top of the head of elephant can now control the elephant with a simple instrument called as ankush or goad. So thus such a big elephant can be caught and used for one's purpose. So then there is patanga. Patanga is like a moth which is very much attracted, or insects. Basically these insects, if you see them, not so much in Bombay, if you go to countryside villages, you will see as soon as you put on the light, there are hundreds and thousands of moths or insects. They get attracted to the form, the bright light which is coming. So they think that by embracing this bright light, I'll become happy. This is my source of happiness. So without knowing that that can become the cause of that, but still they go and actually try to embrace. Then what happens? They are burned to death. And in the morning, we see that hundreds and thousands of such insects and moths have fallen down because they are now finished because of this illusory attachment. They lose their life because they are very much attracted to the sense of sight, eyes. Their eyes are very, very, they get attracted to such wonderful objects. Then there is Bhrunga, there is a bee. The bee is very much attracted to the smell of flowers. So it goes here and there and everywhere and to get some some kind of madhu or honey, and he collects and collects, and all his life he collects the honey and he makes a beehive. And that beehive, he is looking at it every day and he understands that so much honey I have collected, I'll enjoy it all my life. Then what happens? Some people come and they start burning wood just beneath the beehive, and there are hundreds and thousands of all these bees are burned to ashes. And then that person comes and he easily takes away that honey which has been collected so far by these greedy bees, Bhrunga. And then there is a Meena. Meena is fish. How the fish is caught? They are also very agile. You cannot actually catch them. So the hunter or one who wants to catch these fishes, they actually allure them with some fleshy kind of a thing. And because these fishes are very much attracted to eating and eating and all day eating, isn't it? So therefore, we have our forest, Brindavan forest here. So we have so many fishes there. So therefore, actually it is written a board over there. So don't feed these fishes, because everybody will come and feed and God knows what will they feed. So therefore, it is not advised for anybody and everybody to come and feed them, because they are anyway very much attracted to eating all day long. So therefore, those who want to catch these fishes, they actually throw some, they have their fish net or some kind of a instrument through which they catch, they actually put a substance, meaty substance, and they, because this fish is very much attracted to eating all day long, so he easily gets attracted and he starts eating without knowing that this is my death knell. And as soon as he pulls out, what happens? Then it gets, he actually dies trying to eat this meaty substance. So, we can see that each one of these animals, they are attracted to only one sense. Okay? So, fish is attracted to eating, that means his weakness is what? His tongue is his weakness. Bhrunga, his weakness is, you know, his nose. He wants to smell beautiful fragrance. And Patanga, the moth, is attracted to the sight. His ear, his eyes are his weakness. Matanga, that is elephant, is attracted to touch, the object of sense. Therefore, the sense of touch are his tvacha, that is his weakness. And deer, his ears. So, all these five senses are trying to allure the living entity. And each one of these living entities, they lose their life getting attracted to one of the senses and sense object. And therefore it is asked, this question is asked here. So, if an ordinary living entity is caught and killed just because he is attracted to one sense object, we human beings have all these five senses fully alert and fully perfect. So, when a living entity tries to enjoy this material world unrestrictedly, so what hope is there that he will survive? Because that one of the senses is sufficient to knock down any living entity, even human being. What to speak of if he has all the five senses and is trying to enjoy this material world without restriction, then there is no question that he will be doomed to death. So therefore, such restrictions and such instructions are given. So better we understand the goal of life and understand we have these senses. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. Unless we engage these senses, which are very, very formidable, otherwise we'll be doomed. So therefore, apart from these weapons, you know, the modern civilization has created, the weapons for mass destruction, isn't it? But as and when the civilization is advancing, the civilization has provided with everyone. Everybody has given this another kind of weapons for mass distractions. You know? There are so many distractions. Whether destruction will happen or not, but distraction has already happened. And that is no less than any destruction. That is actually destroying our human lives. So therefore, these mass distractions are nothing but allurements of Maya. So, Queen Kunti also says in Srimad Bhagavatam, Janmaishwara Shrutashri, isn't it? There are these four distractions. High birth and lot of opulence and then high learning and then beauty. So these four are those attractions or allurements. There are so many allurements in this world. So one may say, no, I don't have anything. I am very simple. I am very poor. But still there is a chance of him becoming very arrogant. Because a pauper can become proud of his penny also. It's not that one has to be emperor of the world, then only he can become very proud and puffed up. Even a pauper is proud of his penny. So therefore, damn if you do and damn if you don't. Whether this way or that way, Maya is thoroughly captivating us and cheating us. So therefore, these are attachment, these are allurements, and they are distraction. They have to be actually dealt with properly. So therefore, in this month of Purushottamas, we recite 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Wherein 34th verse, in 15th chapter, this verse we speak. Ashvatthamulam, ashvatthamenam suvirudamulam, asanga shastrena dhudena chitva. Asanga shastra. That means the weapon of detachment. We have to have this weapon of detachment. Otherwise, we cannot cut these attachments. Okay, so therefore, Lord Krishna is indicating here. So, one devotee was sharing his experiences going to Haldighat. Haldighat is a place where Rana Pratap, all his armor, his swords and his weapons are kept in museum to see in a place like called Haldighati. So this devotee was mentioning that the museum, they were all going to this museum, and the museum keeper, the guide, was trying to tell them that he was showing the swords of Maharaj, this Rana Pratap. And he said that each one of these swords, they weigh 50 kilograms. 50 kilograms. And Rana Pratap used to carry two of such swords. One for himself and one for his enemy if he loses or if he doesn't have his sword. And he used to carry two such heavy swords. And in order to actually hold 50 kilogram of a sword, you can imagine what should be the strength of the person who can actually wield such weapons. So such was the power of Rana Pratap, and he would carry two such swords with him. And when he would strike at the enemy, it is said that he would slice from the head of the enemy till the he would also slice even the horse along with the head, body of the enemy. That means that is how powerful he was. And you can imagine the strength of such a powerful warrior like Rana Pratap. And he used to sit on Chetak. Chetak is his horse. You can imagine the strength of this Chetak, who had to run actually, not simply walking. He had to run with a two sword that itself is 100 kilograms, and a person who sits on that horse, who must be weighing at least 150 kilograms or more than that. Otherwise, how can he hold such two swords? So that means, in order to actually, he is just one warrior, and it is said about him that how powerful he was. So those who are actually combating with material energy, we have to be even more powerful than that, this Rana Pratap. Because we are not trying to fight with some ordinary enemy. Actually, we are trying to fight with material energy of the Supreme Lord. Daivihisha gunamai mamamaya duratteya. So unless one surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Lord, there is no question of overcoming these allurements and these distractions. So therefore, in Bhagavatam, it is mentioned that beautiful series of verses. It is said that Bhidyate Rudaya Grantis Chidyante Sarvasamshaya Kshiyante Chasya Karmani Drishtaiva Atmanishvare. Before this, there are so many other verses. Let us go through them, because Prabhupada is here indicating that we should take shelter of the sound representation of Krishna. This is Srimad Bhagavatam. So he starts with Shrunvatam Sukatha Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridyantastohi Abhadrani Vidhunoti Surutsutam. So Shrunvatam Sukatha Krishna. So when we start hearing Krishna Katha, and that is the worth hearing, Punya Shravana Kirtana. There is nothing more auspicious than hearing Krishna Katha. And then what is the result? Ruddantasto hi abhadrani. In the heart we have got so many unnecessary, unwanted things like lust, avarice and anger and all these things. So they are washed away. So these six enemies are cleansed of the heart. Then the next verse is Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya Bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhoti naishtiki. That then one actually Nishtha, he comes to the platform of Naishtiki Bhakti. Then actually it is said that Tada Rajastamo Bhava Kamado Lobhadayashe Cheta Yete Rana Vidam Sitam Sate Prasidati. Then after rendering service to the Lord in the heart, the passion and ignorance are subsided. Lower base qualities of living entity, they are subsided. And then one establishes himself in goodness. Then it is said that evam prasanna manasa bhagavad bhakti yogatah bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. So after having established himself in mode of goodness, one gains positive scientific knowledge of personality of Godhead. Then he actually understands who Lord is, and then he engages oneself in the service. Then the last verse, Vidyate hrudaya grantis chidyante sarva samshaya kshiyante chasya karmani drishtayeva atmanishvare. So then it is said that not in the hearts are pierced and all the misgivings are cut to pieces. Whatever misunderstandings we have about our own selves and about the Lord, all the doubts are finished at the stage of Vidyate hrudaya grantis. So therefore spiritual master is also called as sadhu. Sadhu means what? One who cuts what? All these attachments, allurements and distractions. So therefore it is very essential for one to surrender at the lotus feet of spiritual master, who very mercifully cuts away our attachments. Otherwise it is impossible for oneself to actually deal with these attachments. So therefore also spiritual master is called as guru. Guru means very heavy. Heavy means not necessarily he is having a very heavy body set. Heavy means his instructions are very heavy. He can put all the instructions given by all the people in this world in one side of the balance, and one single instruction given by the spiritual master, he keep it on the other side, and it weighs very heavy, because that is so heavy that we cannot digest it, because it is said that give up sense gratification and engage in the service of the Lord. So that is such a heavy statement. Because we identify ourselves with our bodies and we understand that only by gratifying our senses we become happy. But what is the instruction? Give up all sense gratification and serve the Lord sincerely. It appears so very difficult. One single instruction, because therefore Guru is known as heavy, because he can give such instructions which we may feel very heavy because our own attachments. So therefore Lord Kapil Dev tells his mother Devhuti, he says that tat srishta srishta srishteshu kon akhandita dhipuman rishim narayanam rite yoshin mayeha mayaya. He said that Lord Brahma has created all kinds of living entities. He has created demigods, demons, human beings and animals and so many other kinds of living entities. But whatever he has created, whomever he has created, none of these living entities are able to overcome the allurements or the distractions offered by the Maya, except Naranarayan Rishi. Because nobody else can do that. And who is Naranarayan Rishi? None other than Narayana, none other than the Lord himself. That means only Lord is capable of overcoming his own material energy, then what is the hope for us? We cannot become Narayana. That is not possible. So Lord Krishna has actually indicated in Bhagavad Gita, saying that Daivihesha Gunamai Mama Maya Duratya Mami Eva Ye Prapadyante Maya Metam Tarantiti. That means only when we surrender at the lotus feet, the feet of the Lord, then there is a chance that we can actually overcome this Maya. Otherwise, it is not possible. So therefore, there are so many distractions and so many allurements. And even when we see that, once we saw that video recently, it was circulated. There was actually a monkey. Monkey, how they catch the monkey also? Monkeys are very much attracted to eatables, especially the peanuts. A hunter or one who catches these monkeys, he just offers him a jar of peanuts. And it's a bottle. Actually, it's a bottle. It's such a bottle, actually this monkey can put his hands inside. And because he's attracted, he's seeing, because it's a glass jar, he sees so many peanuts. He wants to pull some of them out. But he just cannot, because it is only, he can only actually put his hand inside, but if he can actually put his hand inside, he can also take it out, no? But he cannot. Why? Because he is catching all those peanuts. Now he wants to pull. He wants to take his hand back, but it's not possible because he's attracted, he's attached to these peanuts. And the hunter easily comes and catches him. He doesn't have to run behind. Otherwise, they are very agile. They are very quick. You cannot catch. Who can catch the monkeys? But they are caught very easily. So, Maya Devi, she offers all these allurements just like peanuts. What is a peanut? It's hardly any value for her. And she is offering peanuts and she is distracting us from the immortal diamond. You know, what is the value of a diamond? Even the ordinary diamond in this world is so very expensive. What to speak of in immortal diamond of love of God. So therefore, there are enough allurements in this world, enough distractions and so many other things. So therefore, unless we are focused in our devotional service, we won't be able to make it. So therefore, it is very essential for all of us practitioners of Krishna consciousness to become focused in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam attentively, and then practice what we hear. And when we do this, we can actually get our immortal diamond, which is otherwise we are losing every time. So many times we tried and we did not get it in other previous lives. So at least in this lifetime, we should actually understand how these peanuts are alluring us and distracting us from this immortal diamond, and we should know the value of this immortal diamond and get rid of these peanuts, which are silly actually, isn't it? So, in front of the love of God. So, therefore, let us hear Srimad Bhagavatam and perfect our lives by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. जय श्री प्रभुपाद की जय श्रीमद् भागवत महापुराण की जय निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे